Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
You're listening to the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast, where when you can't be in the outdoors, we bring it to you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast. We are doing this one a little different. We'll get into the specifics of that in just a second. But welcome to the show. If you are just now finding us, we are thrilled to have you here. My name is Walt. His name is Chase. And each week, we bring you a podcast with one simple goal, and that is to motivate you to get outside and do more. And today's podcast is going to hopefully do that. We're testing something out. We've been kind of slowly rolling this out the past couple of weeks, where we've been doing video podcasts that are going to start getting posted to the YouTube channel. And you guys get to either watch the format, or you can listen to the format, or you can do both if you wanted to. And what this gives us the ability to do is talk about products, talk about videos, talk about those kind of things, and then you can actually see it. So I'm excited about this. We're going to have guests show up, do all kinds of fun things. This one we are streaming live on Instagram to bring you guys the ability to interact with us specifically, which I think is going to be a fun thing, because maybe if this goes well, we're going to roll these out on like a once a month basis, where me and Chase get on here, kind of BS with you guys and have a good time doing it. So before we get to that, we need to talk about a little bit of business. We have partnered with two amazing turkey call companies to do a spring giveaway that we're going to be doing at the end of this month. March 1st, we're going to draw the winner, and we're going to be giving away a two-tiered giveaway. We're going to do a two-tiered giveaway. And tier one is going to win a Stevens 301 20-gauge shotgun, and they're going to win a prize package from Lyford Custom Calls. Now, I don't have for this video Lyford's custom call specifically. This is my personal call that he made me, and I think it's fantastic. And next week, he and I are going to do a live podcast, and we will talk all about it. You guys will get to see everything that he's offering. But just phenomenal turkey calls. I've got a couple here by Honeycomb Custom, which will be our tier two giveaway. We're going to give away two pot calls from Honeycomb Custom. This is an aluminum here that he has. It's a cherry. It's got this real cool feature up here. A lot of his calls are from like rough cut hewn lumber. I don't know if you ever saw that, Chase. It's like really like unique. You get to see like the texture in the side. Awesome. Awesome calls. We are thrilled to give that away end of this month to our Patreon subscribers. Guys, if you would like to support the show, help us do more with this podcast, check us out at patreon.com. We give away free hats. We give away free stickers. You get discount prices on merch and t-shirts as we roll those out. We've got some cool ones coming. And you can also get added to our Marco Polo group and our Discord group, which are just two more ways to interact with a highly, highly concentrated group of guys that have awesome skill sets. So huge, huge shout out to Lyford Custom Calls and Honeycomb Custom Calls. Go give them some love, because they're helping us bring you guys more content, more value, and they're awesome guys. I've gotten to know both of them individually, and I have a blast. So with that, Chase, dude, what's up in your world, man?
Well, today, oddly enough, I went and pulled about 8 trail cameras that I've had out since early December. They've been sitting since early December. I have not checked the SD cards on them yet. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get out there basically to see what battery life was like on all of the cameras. All of them had taken quite a few pictures. So I'm looking forward to checking those trail cams for next year. I mean, everybody knows when you let your camera soak, it's more of a intel for the next season. And I really enjoy running trail cameras. That's one of my things. I like to go back, look at the past history on my trail cams and yeah. try to see if I can figure out a pattern on certain deer. That always seems to be new deer that kind of show up towards the end of the season for me anyways. And I'm just trying to see if that pattern's has continued from the year prior to this year and maybe for next year. I also, on the way home, a deer ran into my truck on the way home. I saw a bunch of deer while I was out getting the trail cams. All of them still had their antlers. All the ones that I saw, the bucks that I saw, they still had their antlers. They hadn't dropped yet. I've seen a few on trail cam that have dropped like one side so far, but luckily enough, it hit my back tire and the deer, it kind of just stunned the deer for a second and ended up running off. So I don't even know what happened to the deer. It was one of those things where I'm just driving, all of a sudden it just boom, hits your peripheral real quick. And I was like, I just put a new motor in my truck and I'm here. I am going, oh gosh, now I'm gonna have to get body work done to my truck. And luckily enough, it had hit the tire and didn't do any damage to the truck. So that's what's going on as far as hunting wise. I'm trying to kind of get ramped up for turkey season. I did buy some cheap.
Hey Chase, real quick, hop on Instagram so that they can hear you too.
Okay,
I sent you an invite.
All right, I did buy some cheap loads to get my turkey gun sighted in because I don't want to be shooting $8 rounds to sight it in. So I did buy some cheap loads for that.
Well,
I'm hoping to get that taken care of. And then soon it'll be turkey scouting.
Is that the one you bought last year, like at the tail end of the season?
Hold on, let me turn this down. What's that?
The shotgun.
No, I had the shotgun. I put a red dot sight on it.
Okay.
And then in preparation for this last hunt, I tried to sight in some different ammo with it and it didn't work and it's off again. So it's back to square one on getting it sighted back in.
Yeah. Well, I had a similar experience last year. So my Maverick 88, like shot historically low in all of the 2020 season. I just aimed really high and right. it got it to work, but I bought some shims for my Maverick 88. And so for anybody who's wondering right now, if you have a Mossberg 500, a 535 and a Maverick 88, the parts are darn near interchangeable with the exception of the barrel with the 535 and the other two, but they make a shim kit that goes on all of those. And I think the 835 as well. And my point of impact was like stupid low. And so I put in the 1/8-inch shim and it brought that thing up to like dead on accurate. I'm actually considering taking the fiber optic off there as well and just using the bead. Have you ever had any issue like missing with the bead?
No, yeah. not on that gun. It was just something that I wanted to try, last season. I did shoot a bird with it about 38, 40 yards. With that gun, but it was just something I wanted to try. I'd always wanted to try is a red dot. I never had any issues with that gun. I was actually trying to put it on a different gun, and it turned out that where you put the mounts or whatever for the red dot, the Picatinny rail, it wasn't made of metal.
I got you.
So they wouldn't tap it for me. The guy's like, it's just going to end up coming out. And so I just put it on a different gun.
Well, we've got Brett and Cole Fleeman causing all kinds of problems in the Instagram group on the Instagram live. That's awesome. Well, man, we got a huge group in here today, man. There's a pile of people pulling in here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll open this up to you guys. Let us know where you're tuning in from. We'll have you on there. So many things I want to say here. Say them, Adrian. Say them. I'll screenshot them and send them to your employer. Oh, man. That's awesome, dude. Well, turkey season, we're going to have Ray on next week. I think he just jumped on. I think I just saw that. Ray Martin. Go follow him if you haven't. Guy just gets it done in Florida nonstop, and some of the like places you don't think about like getting it done with deer and turkey, he hammers them. So where I got to follow up with him on tomorrow, next week's dates. But, you know, turkey season's getting here, man. Like, it's rapidly approaching. You know, the deer season for me wound down in like the third week of January. And I've been sitting here like, oh, I've got all this time. And I started an accounting business, and a lot of people don't know that, but I started a tax business, trying to, you know, get my own self-employment thing going. And, a month of what I thought was going to be good prep, now I am busy doing tax returns every day and bookkeeping and hopefully building for the future, but there's not going to be a whole lot of deer prep postseason deer prep happening, for right. me, which it, is a good thing.
It seems like though, it'd be harder to turkey hunt for tax prep unless you're just doing big businesses and stuff like that.
I mean, that's kind of the direction I want to go with it. So my emphasis is personal tax return and small business tax returns. So my business, for anybody who's interested, who's listening, is Maverick Accounting Solutions. It's on Facebook. You can find it pretty easy, or maverick taxhelp.com. But my passion is for small businesses. I helped mom with her rental business as she got it up and going, and I saw like a lot of the issues that she was facing. And it occurred to me that there's probably a lot of other people who are facing similar issues. And especially in those early years, it's difficult finding people who are willing to help you, because sometimes it's more work than the money's worth it to them once they hit a certain size of their firm. So my hope on this is that my previous experience as a tax accountant, fresh out of college, was no one wanted to talk about taxes before 10 a.m. So I'm banking on the fact that when I do go self-employed, if it ever comes to that, if I go self-employed fully, that I'll have till 10 a.m. 7 days a week, and I won't have evening hunts anymore. But maybe during tax season, you know, I get to hunt more because I've got those mornings. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I can tell you right now, when I was at the tax firm, you couldn't get somebody to pick up the phone at 10 a.m. So it worked out.
They were all hunters.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they were. And you're working out, I noticed. Big AC and ridiculous. We got Brett Mashburn in here, Marco Poland to be popping for the rest of the week. I'm going scouting Thursday through Saturday. Oh, man. So when Brett goes scouting, anybody who's wondering, Brett is a scouting fiend this time of year. We had him on the podcast here recently. We talked about that. I'm going to set the over and under, Chase, on 30 sheds. Are you taking the over, the under on him in his postseason scouting?
I am going to take the under.
The under. Oh, wow.
And the only reason I'm going to go under is I don't know if the area is going to be burned this year. Seemed like he did a lot of damage after a burn. So if he can give us some input on here, if those areas, certain areas are going to be burned this year, potentially take the over, but if they're not, I'm going to take the under.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's good logic. I didn't think about that, because you're right. He was scouting a bunch of fresh burns, and that makes it easy. Good news is they're burning a bunch of areas over here near me that I turkey hunt. And they were areas that I think if they hadn't burned them soon, you would have maybe lost a little bit of the ability to hunt it, just because it's getting a little too thick, right? I need to go out there and walk them and see if I can't find some sheds, because I never find sheds in Florida, man.
Yeah, I find them here and there, and it's usually luck. Just happened to either step on one or look down on the ground, and there's a shed, and it's normally the year's prior shed. I have gone, the one year I did kind of devote time to shed hunting, and I found several spike sheds. I found a 3-point side, but I put in a lot of hours for not a lot of return. And I just figured my shed hunting would be me stumbling upon sheds more than anything.
Didn't you find the world's tiniest shed one time too? Like it was like a button buck shed?
No, I didn't find a button buck shed, but I did find a real small spike shed in just this random area too. It was pretty funny. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I found several this year just walking around in the woods during the season.
Britt says he's found them all. Guys, if you're joining us on Instagram, drop some comments and some questions or topics you'd like us to discuss, and Chase and I'll break them down for you guys. Not experts, but I've got opinions on almost everything. Eagles fan 1990, what's up? Evan Masters. Is that, who's that?
Tyler. He's works with me.
Gotcha. So he's a millennial that's an Eagles fan, I guess. So we can work with that. Tim McCarty, what's up? Ray Martin, thanks for joining us, buddy. Anthony, thanks for joining us. Man, we added like 6 followers there in a row. That's awesome. Evan Mester says that he'll adjust. I'll baby your shims. Okay. All right. So who's that? Eagles fan says A. Tyler says A. Hey. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. Turkey season, my deer season did not go as according to plan. You predicted that with your bold predictions. You knew that I was going to struggle this year. And I don't know if it was like a vain hope that I would get out more than I did. But you know, I had a good time. I had a good season, but I have got this pent up energy going into turkey season that I just can't put into words how badly I just want to be out there shooting turkeys. It's going to be like a bloodlust.
I was just looking at Brett.
Yeah, Brett wants to know, Chase, who would you not take on a deer drive this upcoming season?
Well, I'm hoping that they all have experience now. Maybe experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
We'll be a little bit better. Although it was good comedy.
It was.
From my standpoint.
Yeah.
So I got a kind of a chuckle out of it after that deer pretty much almost linebackered you when it came out of those woods. So
it did. Yeah.
Wish so, I'd have just had my cell phone out.
For people who are listening to this podcast, they're wondering what we're talking about. The episode that we recorded about that, I haven't dropped yet because the audio is not terrific and I've been trying to like baby it. So brief overview, Chase comes up for the Patreon hunt. For anybody who doesn't know this, we host a Patreon hunt once a year. It's a deer hunt starting this past year. It was a roaring success. And Chase came up, scouted for like a half day, ends up getting on this beautiful deer, shoots it, can't recover it because it's gut shot, or not can't recover it, but we decided to back out because it was a little far back. And Chase, myself, and about five other gentlemen go after this deer and basically corralled around this area that we knew the deer was in. And I saw it. And unfortunately, Brett had disappeared from my eyesight. And I had, you know, I'm not going to shoot into brush where I don't know where Brett is, but I see the deer. He's walking. I had a clear shot. About the time the deer leaves the area where I can get a shot, out pops Brett, you know. And I made the fatal mistake of getting just inching further and further in, when in reality, maybe Brett should have gone in there and kind of busted the deer out towards me. And that joker blew out from me like 20 feet away and almost just crushed me as it ran up the hill. I thought Ron was going to shoot me.
Yeah, he pretty much did. So
yeah.
Luckily we recovered the deer the next day. I have my good bloodhounds with me on that trip, as Brandon's referring to.
That's
on
right.
Here. So a group of us, and 5 hours, 6 hours later, whatever it was, we got the deer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was, I'm glad you got the deer. It was a beautiful deer too. It was a nice one. It was what, like 93 inches or something like that, you said?
Yeah. It was around 90, 91 inches, yeah. I think, is what it scored out to. So I'm fixing to start working on the European for it. I've got an idea for the European. I'm not going to white skull it.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to, and I talked to Brandon about this, I'm going to paint it black, and then I'm going to have the Chase and Tail CT on the center of the skull to kind of for that hunt. So to be always a memory of the Patreon hunt. So that's my goal with it, is to do something creative with it.
That,
so when I walk into
killer.
my wall of fame room that I got, I'll be able to look at that and it'll always be like, yep, that was the Patreon hunt, and just all the memories from that. There's a ton of memories from that deer. So a lot of good memories from that deer, and just being able to hang out with everybody on that Patreon hunt and everybody being involved. And I don't think I wouldn't have found that deer had everybody not been there. So I was really appreciative of that, and the ones that stuck it out and helped me end up finding the deer. So that was great. And like I said, I've got, I don't know how many 90 inch deer that I have from Florida, but I figured, well, it'll stick out if I do that with the skull.
You know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I was thinking about not, because it'd be redundant, but we haven't dropped that episode yet. That deer camp was freaking awesome, man. I don't know about you, but like, I grew up with deer camp. Deer camp was like the thing. You kill a deer, everybody's around it, and you're cleaning the deer. You bloody the guy if he's never been bloodied before, you know, if it's first deer, and you know, there's drinks going around and everybody's laughing like, oh, you almost missed him or something. You know, there's always some good story. And I missed that camaraderie. But that group, we had like 20, 21 dudes who had never met each other before, all descend on one WMA for 4 days. We had a big meal. We had a good time. Dude, I swear it was nonstop laughter. I thought they were going to, I really thought that first night or that Friday night, they were going to kick us out of the camp because we were making so much noise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was great. Like I said, we got to meet a lot of the guys. We see quite a few of those on the Marco Polo group that we got, which is always interesting. And just to meet those guys, like I said, and some of them in person, they're probably more enthusiastic in person maybe than they come out on Marco Polo or whatever. That was good to see. It was good to meet them all. Good to hear all of the deer stories. I mean, because when you get everybody together, everybody's got deer stories that they tell. And I got to listen to a ton of different deer stories, get to find out what's going on in everybody's season, kind of on a person-to-person basis. And I had a lot of fun with that for sure. And it was that was probably the, I mean, I've had some deer camp with some people before, just not to that level. And I didn't grow up hunting, as everybody knows. So I didn't experience any of that as a kid. I didn't start hunting until I think I was 23. I actually started deer hunting around that age. I know I still look 22, 23, but that's when I started hunting. So I didn't get any of that as a kid.
Yeah, it was really cool. And a pile of deer died. Like, so not everybody hunted the same place. A lot of people spread out to a bunch of different WMAs, but I think like, was it 6 or 7 deer died?
I think it was more around 5, 4 okay. or 5, maybe.
Ben shot 1, Chicken Buck shot 2.
Chicken Buck
split shot 1.
Okay, I'm not thinking about the does. I'm thinking about bucks. I think it was like 4 bucks and 2 does, maybe.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
So 6 deer total. And Parker missed 1, giant Florida buck. So potentially could have been 7.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a really nice 8-point run in front of me, and I just couldn't get a shot. It was cool, man. There was a lot of deer seen. Chuck flew down from PA, and he immediately got on deer. I mean, it was a good time. It was,
you know, he saw a bunch of does.
He did. And hopefully we'll be back here soon. Walt, good luck turn tax season. I fully expect 2 turkeys down. Hope you get one before Chase. if there's ever something I can get done before Chase, it's a tax return probably and maybe killing a turkey.
Yeah, maybe.
He doesn't even concede that, guys. He says maybe.
I mean, turkeys, like I said, turkeys be a hit or miss. I either go out and shoot 2 on the first, within the first whatever 2 days of the season, or I struggle bust it and end up killing 1, and maybe killing 1 at the end of the season. For me.
Yeah.
So it's hit or miss.
It is. Turkey's got to be willing to die. I mean, maybe that's a good topic for us to talk about. Is maybe some of these guys, you know, the Patreon group is comprised primarily of deer hunters. We've introduced several new guys to turkey hunting. Ron, Brett, Ben, I think, isn't much of a turkey hunter. He's getting involved. And so what if we like hit like a high level overview? Because no one's dropped any like killer questions yet. So if you guys have a question, like drop a question below if you got one. We'll gladly we'll talk about it. But Chase, you know what? If the birds don't want to play, go get breakfast. Well, I mean, that's a great jumping off point, because realistically, my favorite thing to say is a turkey's got to be willing to die. And you do not have to be a good caller or a good turkey hunter. If you have a turkey who's determined to go find that hen and he's just in that mood, you can dang near do everything to mess it up and still kill that bird sometimes.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, you can tell sometimes on like how fired up a bird is, especially when they're gobbling at pretty much every noise in the woods, whatever it is, car door slamming, somebody hammering away, whatever, anything in the woods. I mean, hawk, peacock, whatever. I mean, whenever they're like firing off like crazy like that, and they're super hot. But generally, though, it seems like the ones that are willing to die are coming in quick. So as soon as they hear that hen call, no matter what hen call you give them, like they're right on top of you within whatever 30 seconds, a minute. And it just happens like super quick like that. The ones that are like really willing to die. Other ones you may have to work for a while, probably because they have some hens. The hens are kind of meandered off. But there are definitely some birds that at times are definitely ready for that kamikaze mission, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I've got mine on the wall right here. I killed it 3/23/20. I had a little plaque made for it and everything. And that bird, when I look back on it, I did absolutely everything wrong. I'm like across the board wrong. First off, I had my diaphragm call upside down. So I was squawking, in the words of Colonel Tom Kelly, I was squawking like a crow raping a hawk, raping a turkey or whatever. Anyways, I butchered that, but squawking terribly. I got the call upside down, making all kinds of terrible noise. The sun's already up. He's still on the roost, and I'm still like creeping in closer because on every podcast I've ever heard, it's like, get inside his bubble, you know, like get as close as you can. And I'm like way too close to this bird. The bird should have seen me. There was like this little wall of brush that I think kept me obscured. And that bird flew down. I heard him fly down. He walked right to me, stepped through that little brush pile. And obviously I shot him at 25 yards, but like, that's a quintessential example of that bird was just ready to die. It was his day. He had decided he was fired up and I did everything wrong besides move. And I had a tree, my backdrop chase, wide open understory. My back is to a tree like this big. So like my silhouette is like sitting right there in the open. I should have never killed that bird ever.
But you did.
I did.
But you did. Looks like we got a couple of questions.
We do. Yeah. Do you bow hunt turkeys or shotgun and why? Chase, why don't you start us off on that one?
A shotgun, 100%. We've heard people come on the podcast and say, I've said it. I just feel like the shotgun is made for the turkey. I've kind of floated around the idea every now and then of taking a bow. Sometimes it just seems like they're even hard to kill with a shotgun, much less a bow getting drawn back on them. I mean, maybe if I had a ground blind set up or something like that, but I mean, to me, there's just something about hearing, that gun go off and the turkey flopping all over the place, as opposed to shooting it with a bow and then it run off and you have to maybe make a recovery on it. I do understand that they have the, what are those heads? The ones that decapitate the turkeys.
Yeah.
Those heads too.
God, what are those things called?
I can't remember what they're called right the second, but I just enjoy using the shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My turkey hunting mentor, I was asking him, you know, I'm getting all fired up. He gives me a copy of Tom Kelly's, The 10th Legion, best book ever written. Period. End of story. It's just amazing. In fact, I read that book before turkey season, and the book had me so fired up for turkey season, it was all over. But I'm asking him, I'm like, you know, hey, you know, I'm thinking about trying my bow this year. I'm going to do this. And he just looked at me, and Clay never fights you for an idea. He's a lot like you. Unless it's a terrible idea, he's going to be like, yeah, go for it. Like, have fun with it. Right. And he looks me dead in the eye and he goes, some things are meant to be shot in the face with a shotgun. That's a turkey. I was like, okay, all right. He's like, keep your archery to deer hunting. And I can tell you right now, I
have guillotine.
Yeah, guillotine. There you
guillotine
go.
Guillotine gobbler, Ray Martin. Chimed in.
I have never once thought, dang, this would be fun with the bow afterwards. Like, it's just too much fun, especially toting the camera, which is something I do. You know, I'm not fooling with that, you know.
Yeah. Unless it was a perfect setup.
Yeah. Like a ground blind. When you said a ground blind, I thought, okay, maybe then, and maybe with a guillotine, because I also don't want to go chasing them. It's either going to be a completely dead bird or not, you know?
Yeah.
All right. We got another question here. Here's a question for you, Walton Chase. What's your favorite wild turkey recipe?
Besides fried? Besides fried turkey?
Yeah.
I have done turkey a different way. I have cooked turkey in like the cream of mushroom. Stuff, and that was really good.
Like as a pasta dish or like a
kind of, it's like cream of mushroom, like the Campbell's cream of mushroom. You put the turkey in there, you cook it in the cream of mushroom, and you put it over rice, whatever vegetable you got, and you kind of got that as your gravy or whatever. You just kind of got to be careful not to overcook it. You kind of got to watch the temperature and everything to where it stays moist. But I mean, it's hard to beat the fried turkey to me.
When I shot my first turkey, we went and got panko breadcrumbs, buttermilk, and we fried it. And it was Parmesan panko breadcrumbs. And we fried it. And my wife's face lit up like I told her I was buying her a new car. She started eating it and she goes, I need you to kill more turkeys. And I was like, you've never said that about fishing. You've never said that about deer hunting. I will gladly take you up on the offer to turkey hunt more. So that's kind of our go-to, man, is breadcrumbs, Parmesan breadcrumbs, fry it. You can even oven roast it. We did that with like a little convection oven deal and that was delicious. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're asking me for like one outside of that, we make like carnita tacos out of the legs, put them in a slow cooker with a bunch of Italian dressing, pepperoncinis, and you just let it simmer down, break down all that tissue, and then all the meat just like pulls right off. It's delicious that way. It's really, really good. So I'd recommend that to people. I don't know, maybe we'll do a video on that, dude, because I got a bunch of those in there that need to get cooked. So maybe we'll do a video.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
All right, let's see here. Brett Mashburn. Oh, first off, Ray Martin says Cajun seasoned and wrapped in bacon and barbecued. Okay.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with bacon with anything. So
or barbecue or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Andy Taxidermy. Shout out to Andy. Good guy. Really good guy. Average taxidermist, but a very good guy.
he did a great job on my deer last year.
He's a good guy. I'm just giving him hell. Brett, if you could give out one tip for a turkey hunter, what would that be?
There is no one way to kill a bird. So to me, I throw the kitchen sink at them. And I'm not somebody that I'm not as patient turkey hunting, I would say. So I'm not the kind that's going to sit there all day and wait in an area. So I've been known to belly crawl hundreds of yards, for turkeys. I've sprinted after turkeys. I don't necessarily recommend that and shot them. But yeah, I mean, there's no one way. And like I said, it just depends on the day. I mean, for me, it's like one day I'm giving them this and they're fired up as all get out. And the next day they're not even responding to that. So just kind of keep that in mind. There's no one way.
Be flexible. Yeah. Okay, this is gonna get us off track, but I'll get us back on quickly. Didn't you kill a turkey in like a blue shirt and blue jeans in the middle of a road one time, like standing up?
Yes, with my Chasing Tails hat on.
Yeah,
I did. I was driving during turkey season. I was driving a road, and as I made this corner, I saw a gobbler. He's by himself. It was kind of his strut zone area. Anyways, I was just going to check for tracks in that area to see if he had been strutting along that road, because he would always kind of strut there mid-morning, sometimes in the afternoon. He just happened to be there. He kind of hightails it, immediately stop the truck, get out, grab my shotgun, make the turn, and I can see him. He's still running away from me, and I just kneel down, and I didn't think about it till afterwards. So I have on a black, just solid black shirt. I had the Chasing Tails, the gray hat, and the blue Chasing Tails. And I got down kind of like how a catcher is in a stance, basically. I just got down like that with my gun. And he turns around. He just happened to turn around and look at me. And he stops and he does a 180 and then starts beelining it straight towards me. And his head is getting wider and wider as it's coming towards me. I was like, what is this turkey? I was like, there's no way he's going to keep coming. No way he's going to keep coming. And finally, I'm just like, this is going to have to be a kill on self-defense, because I think I finally threw the gun up and shot him like at 10 yards coming in. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, I was kind of set up like a turkey would be, kind of strutting in that area. How I had my arms out, had the black shirt on. It's not very, I would never do that on public land. This was on private. So I don't think I'd ever wear black on public land during turkey season and a gray hat. Like it was just, that's just happened to be what I had on at the time. And I wasn't worried about any other hunters at the time, and there was no calling, zero calling. It was, like I said, almost kind of like what they do, reaping or whatever type deal, where he thought someone, he's like, all of a sudden he got to where, oh, who's that in my territory? And he came a charging for sure. I shot it in self-defense.
Brett says chase isn't an exception to hunting rules. And that's just like the epitome of it right there. Yeah,
that's true.
I think if I had to give somebody a piece of advice, it's fluctuated over the years. I think if you'd asked me this, like the beginning of the end of 2020 season, I would have said one thing. 2021 season, I would have said something else. I think Joey Bell in our Patreon group said something that I feel like is real. It resonates with me. And that is when you set up on a bird for the first time, you strike the bird, you think he's coming, and you're trying to set up. You have more time than you think. Time like slows down in that moment. You've got a couple minutes to make a decision. And I think I would advise people to take that time to truly find good cover and try and put something in between you and that bird to where he can't see where you are until he's within range. Like, take that moment and truly assess the situation. Because if you make a bad setup or if you rush it, you're not going to kill the bird anyways, most likely. And so settle down, because it's hard, because he's high. He's, he's just hammering on that roost or hammering coming through the bottom. And it's just echoing. It's really hard to get excited, but take a moment, take a deep breath and make sure you pick a good spot. You've got more time than you think. That's shout out to Joey. That's an incredible piece of advice. I think you and I hunt turkeys the same way. If they're not talking or if they're not committed, I'm not patient. I'm there to play a game. I'm there to kill a turkey. I want a certain dynamic. And if he's not playing the game, I'm out anyway. So
yeah. And that's how I am with turkey hunting.
Yeah. I'm not deer hunting turkeys. I can't,
for the most part.
I can't do it.
For the most part.
You should have him on a turkey podcast. I don't know who Brett's talking about there, but we're going to have a lot of people on the turkey podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have quite a few.
Ray Martin, Grounded Turkey Vest is going to come on the show. We're going to talk to him. Oh, yeah.
He tears it up.
Yeah, guys, if you got any questions, drop a question below and we will address it on the podcast. We're, for anybody who's just joining us here, we're kind of doing a semi-live thing where we're going to jump on Instagram, interact with you guys. If you like this format, if it's interesting to you, then we'll continue to do this pretty routinely. Oh, he says have Joey Bell on the podcast. I've got an idea for Joey Bell on the podcast, and it has a lot to do with today's topic on Patreon in the Marco Polo group. Chase, that place gets a little too busy for you, so I'll update you. We had the conversation. We have a daily question of the day, and the daily question of the day today I put forth, which was, what does conservation look like in 2022, because we have like a lot of different ideas of what conservation is. We have, you know, the North American wildlife conservation model, which is a huge component to things. But in the 20th century, it was putting animals back on the landscape. And now that we're in a different time, I postulated the question, what does it look like? Because I feel like we're in a different era right now. And Joey, who was on the board for Tennessee BHA, he's recently stepped down because he's got a kid, can't put forth the time, really brought forth a lot of really great topics about habitat and how improving the habitat we have, conserving the habitat that we currently have as well, all kind of played into that. And so I think we need to do a podcast on that kind of coming up, and it doesn't have to just be on conservation, because that kind of gets, you know, a little dull over a period of time. Right. But I'm thinking turkey conservation. Maybe we can have him on to talk about Tennessee. I know he's wanting to come to Florida as well, so maybe we can coax him down here to come shoot one of our many birds. We'll send him down to Ray. We'll send him down to Ray's honey hole and let him shoot those birds. Brandon, look at your buddy's picture for cyber scouting. Old Ray's still here. I thought he was gone. That's why I said that.
Yeah, I don't know. Mine's not really updated.
Yeah, you're freezing every once in a while, so they may not be able to. You may have like a connection issue there, but anything to look for cyber scouting. Okay, Chase, this is an interesting topic. You don't believe really in cyber scouting very much. We have contrasting.
I don't. It's not that I don't believe in it. I think that there is a place for cyber scouting. I like to cyber scout a lot for property lines.
Okay.
And any little bit of nuances and stuff that I think I can find. I think that a lot of the terrain I hunt is kind of monotonous, and a lot of it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't spend as much time cyber scouting as everyone else. I do feel like it has helped me on my out-of-state trips.
Okay.
More than it has helped me in Florida.
That makes sense. You know, I think that prior to Spartan Forge launching, shameless plug, you guys should check out Spartan Forge. Use the promo code, is it Chasing Tails 10?
For which one?
Spartan Forge.
Oh, Spartan Forge? I don't, it might be, I think it is Chase and Tails 10.
I think it's Chase and Tails 10. All caps or all lowercase, either way should get you a discount there. But before Spartan Forge came out, I feel like I wasted a lot of time with cyber scouting because there just isn't a whole lot you can ascertain from some of these areas. But they've got, and I use this to roaring success this year on that December hunt that I went on that got turned into a debacle. But they have the different maps on there. So they've got your like summertime map, and then they have a fall map that is mainly used for identifying when agriculture has actually been pulled out of fields so that you can use it for part of your scouting. Mm-hmm. But but the big benefit is that trees that lose their leaves start to show different colors. And so when I was looking at some of these huge swamps and I put that fall filter on there, all of a sudden a totally green canopy that was very difficult to ascertain what was there. All of a sudden you have these pockets of trees that suddenly are like changing colors, and you start to see a difference in habitat that runs through there. And I was able to identify some really cool pinch points inside the swamp. At least I speculated ahead of time. And as I flip through those layers and I go through that swamp and I flip back and forth and I'm panning through, it was really clear that in all of this monotony, there were only a couple spots that actually had a diverse, like a change in the habitat structure. And when I went there and put boots on the ground, it was there was no one there because it didn't look good from both the road and from any other map. I'm not going to name names, but all of the mapping softwares that you had, if you didn't have this fall layer, you didn't see this, but it also didn't look good. And when I went in there, loaded with deer sign. In fact, I'm trying to get back up there sometime soon just to put a camera up because I want to see what's using the area, because I had a really nice 6-point come through. I had a big 8-point come through a couple hours before that. It was rutting activity in there, bedding activity in there. It was remarkable. It was the den. I was right there where I needed to be. So e-scouting for me, my tip is going to be towards swamps. If you have an area that has a monoculture of hardwoods, check out those Spartan Forge apps because you can flop back and forth and sometimes see something that kind of concentrates your effort before you even get there. Forget to throw that out there. It works out.
Yeah.
But I definitely think Ray Martin's got the nail on the head. You definitely look at your buddy's pictures whenever you're cyber scouting. It works 9 times out of 10. It works 50% of the time. So yeah, well, I kind of thought I'd have more to say, but I really don't, man. You got anything on your chest you want to talk about? Anything coming down the pipe about the podcast you want to share?
About the podcast, maybe some stuff about the website.
Yeah.
Lot of people know about our website. We haven't really advertised it a ton, I don't believe. We do actually have a website. So I'm probably going to start putting up, well, I guess they may know from the shirts, the website, but I'm probably going to start maybe doing an article or two from time to time, just on some kind of topics that I've been thinking about recently. And I think, and some of them are going to be Patreon exclusive articles.
Yep.
To help our Patreon members out. So there's a push for Patreon, I guess, but and some of them will be for everybody.
That's right.
To go take a gander at, but that's something I've kind of been thinking about recently and wanting to work on. As far as the podcast, like we mentioned, we're going to keep on rolling, doing what we're doing. We're trying to be Florida centric for the most part. We feel like that's our niche. That's where it's at. We may incorporate some other stuff from time to time. But I think we're going to continue rolling on that train.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. I think the podcast format's going to stay probably about the same. I think we're going to see more of these video podcasts because it's really, it's nice to be able to like see you, right? Like, and know when you have something to say, right? Because I dominate conversations. It is what it is. But like, you know, turkey calls, if we wanted to talk about turkey calls, if we wanted to do a gear dump video, right? You know, what's in our packs? What's our camera setup? All this different stuff. It's easier to convey that here. And it's also great, I think, to bring in a guest and be able to see that guest's face. But touching on the website, I'm looking forward to what you're putting out there. We talked about it last night, and I think the ideas you've got are going to be awesome. And it's going to just add one more layer to what we offer. I think it's Jonathan Courtney says, every time I've looked it up, it takes me to a bait shop on the East Coast of North Carolina. If you spell Tails, T-A-L-S, T-A-I-L-S, then that's where it'll take you. If you spell it Chasing Tales, T-A-L-E-S, it takes you to the website. So Chasing Tales, as in a story, T-A-L-E-S, outdoors.com, will get you where you need to go. We've got some limited shirts, so shameless plug. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the Hobble Gobble shirts still remaining. It's got the Hobble Gobble, Do You Speak Turkey, on the back. It's got the Chasing Tales footprint on the front. And then we've still got some of our Florida Public Land Legends, which is basically the bummed National Forest sign. We kind of made it our own and put a text on there because we believe that some of the baddest hunters come out of the state of Florida. It is hard to be consistent in Florida. And if you manage to do so, we feel like you're legendary. So, but yeah, I mean, the website's there. We're loving the interaction. We're getting there. We're going to push more products out there, more content for you guys. One of the things I want to do, and I'll touch on this for the podcast, is I want to take, we've got 3-4 years now of content, years worth of content. I want to start doing some like throwback blogs because some things are easier to talk about written, and we've had multiple guests on already to talk about it. And I don't really want to have like a fifth guest on just for the sake of, you know, talking about the same thing. And so I want to connect the listener with some of those topics. And so let's say it's how to catch or find bucks in big beds, right? Let's just say it's something like that. I want to link that for people and put it there so they can go back and listen to those episodes. And I want to tell them what's unique about each of those episodes because each guest brings something unique to the table. So I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be a good time, man.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we kind of wrap this one up here instead of droning on, because somebody's going to be listening to this on their way to work tomorrow, and I don't want to waste their time. But if you guys like this format, if you like the topic and you want to jump on Instagram, maybe we do this a little more. We rely on the feedback from you guys. So let us know what you like, what you don't like. And most importantly, if you get a chance, check out the website, consider supporting the show via Patreon. And until next time, y'all get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are. Any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.